Well, hello everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is you are. And we're going to have another chat about beer today. And this time I'm lucky enough to have with me Sebastian Morano from Zandoval Brewing. Is it Zandoval Beer or Zandoval Brewing? The name.
Zandoval Brewing.
Okay, Zandoval Brewing in Mendoza in Argentina. You're the first Argentinian brewery or brewer I've been able to speak to, so I'm really excited about that. And I have no clue, absolutely no clue about what beer is like in Argentina. So I'm really looking forward to learning a bit. So maybe how did you get into beer? What led you to set up a brewery?
Okay, so a few years ago, like 9 years ago, I started making beer, like home brewer in US with a guy who, I started working in a winery. I'm a winemaker. So I started working in different places in the world, making wine. And in US, I found a guy who make beer and home brewer, and he started teaching me and make beer for us, you know, and that was the first time I fell in love with the beer. So 20 days. We drink the first beer we make, and it was so good for me. And so then I went back to Mendoza and start making beer as a home brewer. And then we bought a brewery. So the first brewery in Mendoza, so we start learning there and start selling beers like blonde ales and Scottish. And then we said, okay, this is our base beer. They are so good. So we're going to make a different beers. And we start making beer with dulce de leche, like caramel,
okay,
chocolate, all barrel aged beers, and IPAs, New England IPAs. And so now Sandoval, it has 6 beers. And every month we brew a special beer, so always different with beetroots, adding different ingredients.
Okay, so that's because, like you said, you're a winemaker originally, because Mendoza is wine country. It's, I think most people know. So first of all, I guess, is there much of a beer culture? Many people looking for beer there, or does everybody just drink wine and you're a tiny little market?
No, most people drink wine, but a lot of people drink beer as well. So now it's like a balance, 50% wine, 50% beer. Because, you know, in summertime, it's easier to drink beer.
Yeah.
Wintertime, we try to brew high alcoholic beers. Okay. So people can drink a beer, maybe thinking a wine, I will say. Like,
yeah, you were mentioning
12 alcohol beers. Like, 11 alcohol beer, like pastry stouts, imperial stouts.
Okay, so it's really your winter beers are really the wine substitute. So
Yeah. And also we make beer with grapes. So like our imperial stout are we put in barrels and Malbec barrels, oak barrel.
Yeah.
And we try to do like a good mix in between wine and beers.
Yeah.
Also in summertime we do like IPAs with grapes, with white grapes.
Hey, I haven't had something like that. That sounds nice. That sounds very nice. But yeah, I could imagine like being where you are, that barrel aging is something you can really experiment with.
Yeah. Just because we are really close to vineyards, and so we go pick grapes, we put in the tank and ferment with a beer must.
Okay.
With barley must.
So do you think this is interesting, because it sounds like, you know, more than any other brewery I've spoken to yet so far, that a lot of them do barrel aging, but they're kind of, you know, but you got a real focus on grapes as being a kind of a key ingredient in some beers.
Yeah. Say again.
No, I said I've spoken to brewers who, you know, they barrel age and that, but it's yours sounds much more different, because it's a real focus on the grapes being a part of the beer. Like, you know, really merging the two.
Yeah. So our special beers are focusing grapes, or maybe mixed with wine. But yeah, we got a base beer, you know, like the most selling beer for us is classic IPAs, classic Scottish ale, golden ales. But we always try to do something different once per month. And so the people who follow our brewery can try different styles of beer or different things. So Right. Don't get boring.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So actually, you're in a tap room. You have a tap room or a bar or...
We got the brewery, and we got a little tap room just for friends. So,
okay.
Once per month, we do like a little party for our followers.
Okay, yeah. So it's not a bar.
And we do there like a bar?
Yeah, like it's not a bar that's open to the public every day.
No, we just open once per month.
Okay.
Our bar. So in the brewery we got the tap room.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so most of your sales
mainly we focus in brew beer and sell to 28 bar.
Okay.
We sell keg.
Okay.
Keg to the bars,
yeah.
So to the pubs, so that we can sell our beers. And we got the little tap room, just 60.
Yeah, I got
a person, 60 people can fit in there, and once per month we do like a little party there, and that's okay. It.
So yeah, so Sebastian, tell me, you, like you said, you're originally a winemaker. So what, right, I guess, what attracts you more to the beer side than the wine side? Is it more creative? Can you play more? But you have, you know, what makes it more attractive to do?
So my main job is the beer. I still making wine because I love wine as well.
Okay.
The only thing is it's more quickly to make beer. You wait 1 month, so you it's funny because you can make beer every month and drink that beer and make more good experience and see quickly the difference in between each beer you make, you know. And wine, you have to wait 1 year, at least 1 year. So that I like of the I like the beer.
Right, you liked it, yeah. So I can see, yeah, that there's a more immediate, and I guess when you're making different beers every month, you can play with them really, which you can't do with the wine because you have to get it
for
right.
Sure.
Yeah, like
for sure.
Yeah,
and I think if you enjoy your job and you can make a product and drink like in 1 month, then you can touch a few things of that recipe and make again and try again. And so in 1 year, maybe you can do the same beer 12 times. Yeah. And so you can play a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess the other thing about the wine, yeah, if it takes, well, one is it takes so long to go, but you won't harvest. So you have to, you can't afford to play with it just in case.
And you have to wait 1 year. And
you don't know if what you did worked.
It's a lot. So, okay, there are a lot of beer you have to wait. If you make Imperial Stout, we wait like 3 months before start to sell it. So it's a lot, 3 months, but you have to wait. Sours beer, you have to wait as well, but the other beer, you can do it like 1 month, 40 days.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite beer, style of beer?
Mine, I would go with the two you mentioned there. I've become very fond of sours, especially kind of wild beers. I've become very, very fond of that. My wife doesn't like them at all. Every time I give her one, she doesn't like them. But I've come really to like sours. But I also then, the other end of it, I do like an Imperial Stout. Just 12% beers are a bit too strong for me for more than,
yeah,
you know, like those are for special occasions.
We brew a maracuja sour.
Okay.
Really good beer. And we also make goose.
Yeah, I like one of those.
Yeah. But in Argentina, no, in Argentina, in Mendoza, sours, it's like people is starting drinking sour. We are like, I think we have a 10 years delayed with the war. So when I was in England, I drink a lot of sour, and in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, they are drinking sour like 5 years ago. They start in Mendoza, just starting. People is not too. They don't know that what is a sour beer, so they start drinking sour. Or you give a glass of sour beer and they look like, oh, it's sour.
Yeah,
yes, it's sour.
It's my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they are a completely opposite scale to a rich Malbec or something like that. They're,
it's like this.
Much an acquired taste, because I never, like when I first drank them, I didn't really like sours either. I just happened to go back a couple more times and gradually became kind of accustomed to them, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sour world, it's beautiful. I really like because you can make a lot of different things with sour beers, but you have to learn about how to drink a sour beer, you know? Yeah. Like, in the beginning, it's like, and then...
I still remember the first one I tasted and I thought there was something wrong with it. I just couldn't. But then slowly you kind of get the subtleties and get the... Just know what seems like a slightly tart beer to me is, like I said, my wife won't drink it. She thinks it's too sour. So it's just familiar. But are you brewing wild sours, or is it kettle sours, or what kind of fruited sours? What kind are you?
We do a kettle sour.
Okay.
Kettle sour. Because we are a little bit scary to contaminate the factory, you know, like we don't like to have thing that we cannot control. So yeah, we prefer to do kettle sour. We have a barrel project in another place. So we take the beer to another place, like in a friend garage.
Okay.
And we have there 8 barrels, oak barrel, with wild fermentation things. So, and we are learning about that. So, we take some good things from there, but I guess 20% it was good last year, and the 80% we make no good things. But for me it was good because it's like we are learning, so we have to still doing until we learn.
Yeah, obviously.
It's a lot of prove, try and see, and learn and write down and do again.
Right, and that's the part that sounds...
I lose money. Lose a lot of money.
But it sounds like that's something you really enjoy, is that learning.
Yeah, for sure. And also, beer world, it's almost infinite, so you have to learn and learn and learn. I think... We have the whole life to still learning about beer and have no limit.
But so those barrels, are you still have those 8 barrels? I presume then, like within those barrels, there is a wild culture that you're just seeing what it works best with, and trying. You're just reusing that culture that's fermenting inside the barrel.
Yeah. So. When we got a good barrel, that barrel we leave it there and we brew beer again there to ferment, and the other barrel we discard and use for, I don't know, to make another thing. We sell it, and we bring more barrel from wine industry, so. Every beer, the ones we make there, have a little bit of Malbec color.
Okay.
We also use Chardonnay barrels, so ex-Chardonnay barrels. So sometimes you can taste or have a little bit of Chardonnay in your glass, you know? It's good.
Yeah, no, that sounds nice. That sounds nice. And then you have a completely separate kind of.
Bajame la música ahora. Sorry, say again.
No, I'm saying, and then you have completely separate barrels without anything in them for the imperial stouts. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're just kind of wine barrels to give the wine and oak flavor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That the barrel we make we call clean barrels, where we don't make sours. So that barrel we have in the brewery.
Okay.
So
they're clean.
We fill there. Yeah.
And so you were saying, like, in Mendoza, it seems like again, let me take a step back. So Argentina, what's the beer culture like in Argentina as a whole? Is it very much separate, centered on places like Buenos Aires? And then it's only now coming into kind of more...
No. So Buenos Aires, Córdoba, Bariloche... South of Argentina, we got a big culture. Buenos Aires, we got a really big, big culture of beer in Mar del Plata. So maybe eight regions of Argentina, we got a big, big culture of beer, and they make really, really good beers, and people drink a lot. And the rest of the country, we got beer, people drink beer, but it's like starting drink new things.
Okay.
I think it was like 2 years ago, like a IPA, how I can say, like everyone's drink IPA 2 years ago.
Okay.
And people are still drinking a lot of IPAs, but New England IPA, it is like a new things for them now. And I guess they're going to start drink more Imperial Stout, and them start to drink sours beer, but mostly sours and especially beers, they it is in the six regions that they make beer since 20 years ago, 30 years ago, they start making craft beer.
Okay. And does that correlate to, again, I don't know much about Argentina other than that it's big and it's separate. So does that correlate to kind of a wine, like, you know, is there a wine country up north and then it's down south is just beer? Is that the way it's historically been?
So in the middle of Argentina, Mendoza, it is in the middle of Argentina, and west, middle west, it is a really strong wine region. And then we got south, we got north. So in the really north, we make white wines. In the really south, we make red and white. And in Mendoza, we make everything, but Malbec is the top in Argentina now. Also, we got really good wine, white wines. We are next to the Andes. Andes is the big mountains. Mendoza is just there. 1,000 meters, 700 meters of altitude. So we got really good place to make wine.
Right.
In the middle of Argentina, they produce a lot of barley. So that's why we have good barley to make beer. Mm-hmm. And in the south, we got really, really good hops. So we got Cascade, Nugget, Fagel, different type of hop that we make.
Okay.
We sell a lot outside of Argentina as well.
Okay. I mean, I obviously hear about New Zealand hops and, you know, kind of American, but Argentinians are not, I haven't heard an awful lot about people specifying Argentinian hops. So that's interesting.
No, it's good. We got a really, really good Cascade.
Okay. Have to look out for
yeah.
And so does that mean that, like, historically, you know, going back, say, a century or more, that area would have been a very big... big home brewing sort of area, or, you know, kind of farmhouse brewing area back then?
There are farmhouse brewing, and in the south there are a lot of brewery because they got the hop there and they have the culture there.
Okay.
I think it's the first place where we start making craft beer. It was in the south of Argentina.
Okay, and that was about 20 years ago, you say?
Maybe 30, yeah, 30, 20.
That's going back.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And what are the laws like? Can you just ship beer anywhere in the country, or is it by state? Does each state and area have their own laws? Like, or are you limited?
No, we can sell beer everywhere in Argentina, but mostly we sell in Mendoza.
Right,
I think every brewery here sell a lot in their region.
Okay.
In this area, and they sell it a little bit outside. We sell to Buenos Aires, to Cordoba a little bit, but mostly we sell in Mendoza.
Okay. And that's so brewery.
Yes.
Do people look at it that way? Like a brewery is a local, it's something local that they're proud of? Is that?
I guess, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, because I see that sometimes over here that, you know, people want to be, I don't think we see enough of people being proud of, you know, this is a local brewery where I can just go to my local brewery and get a good beer. They're always looking for something from somewhere else. They're always trying to get something new instead of just, you know, drinking a good beer from your local brewery should mean a lot, you know.
I think that's the way we want to do here. Like, we are working to, I think everyone who live in Mendoza had to drink our beer and feel proof of our beer, you know? Like,
kind of
proud. Sorry.
Yeah.
Feel proud.
Yeah. No, that would be a good thing to have, like to have when visitors come, people will tell them, you have to try this beer. It's from here, you know.
We are trying to build that way, you know, like we make 15,000 liters a month, which is a lot for us, but I think it's not too much. So we want to make the best 15,000 liters in Mendoza and sell to people from Mendoza. And we got a lot of tourists. So I think when people from outside ask, what is the best beer here? Some people from Mendoza have to say, hey, try Sandoval. Yeah, because shipping is expensive and takes time.
Yeah.
So I think our business is to have bars, pubs in Mendoza where we can sell our product and they can show our product. So we work a lot with pubs. Like, we always say, from Sandoval goes to that pub so you can try our beer. We are really close to the owner of the pubs, so we can talk with them and say, please take care with our beer, clean the taps, and I think they like that way, and they sell a lot. Yeah, we sell 15,000, and I think we can easily sell a little bit more.
Okay, yeah, that was going to be my question about trying to work with the bars. Like, that presumably takes an awful lot of work, though. that you have to you know, build that relationship, but you're not selling to just everybody who'll take it and you know, and who won't store it properly or who won't do, won't look after it. You're very particular about that, that people experience your beer the right way.
Yeah. We just have 28 customers, so we talk with them and they sell our beer like boom, 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 boom.
And you said it's the blonde style beer is the best seller.
Blonde IPAs and Scottish.
Okay.
That's our best seller for us.
Okay, the Scottish kind of surprises me. IPAs, everybody, you know, that is big everywhere. And blondes are very big. The Scottish one is
kind of surprises me. We sell a lot of Scots.
Okay, that's interesting.
A lot. Like, I guess 20% of our production is Scottish, 35% is blonde, 40% is IPA, and then the rest.
Okay.
We got a strong ale, 9% alcohol, really good beer. We sell a lot of that, but not too much. We just we sell a Scottish,
yeah.
A more of a barley wine, or okay. Maybe a strong ale.
Yeah, that just surprised me. And is most of those sales, like you mentioned tourism, that you have a lot of tourists, obviously, in that area. Is most of your sales, or do you know, are most of your sales to locals, or how much goes to tourists?
I guess there is a really popular street here, Aristides Villanueva Street. It has like 30 bars, 30 pubs, and there are a lot of tourists there, and there we got 3 pubs.
Okay.
So there, I know they sell a lot of beer to tourists, but I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
It's a small number of the pubs, but it could be a larger portion of the actual beer.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, in this year they sell a lot to tourists, but I don't know the amount.
Right. Okay. No, that's they're just always trying to understand, you know, because beer. Well, I was going to say beer tourism. You know, going to see a brewery is it's reasonably popular. Maybe not as popular as going to see a winery, but when you're in a place, you want to experience what the locals are drinking. Otherwise, there's no point in traveling. So, yeah. And do you do brewery tours? Do people come to the brewery and?
Yeah. So when we opened our bar tap room.
Yeah.
So we always go to the hotels and leave there a few beers so people can go to the tap room and drink beer over there. And always we got 10% of tourists there.
Okay.
So fun for us.
Yeah.
See new people, I like.
Yeah, I can tell that. So where do you think it's going? So with the beer, like it sounds like there's a lot of breweries in Argentina, especially down further south, but not many of them. They're all selling locally. They're all selling within Argentina. Do you see yourself or any other breweries kind of exporting? Or is Argentina just big enough to that there is no point?
There are a few breweries who are exporting. I think we got really good brewery. They won a lot of cups, like the beer cup. There is a brewery in Argentina who has, I guess, like 30 beer cup won. So And they are selling a lot outside, but I don't know how much they are selling of that. We really like to open our beer to the world, you know. So I guess we are doing a really good job here making beer, and we can sell our beer outside.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, like you said, Argentina is such a big country that it seems sometimes it's not worth the effort to bring it somewhere else, because you have a big market already. So
yeah, we got a big market here, but the craft culture in Argentina, the craft beer culture, it is new, yes. 30 years, so...
But it can expand. That means you have somewhere to expand without having to go to the trouble of exporting.
I guess so. So, your beer, craft beer culture, how long time is that?
Not very long. In Ireland, there's about 40 brew. It's hard to tell because it changes, and there's some virtual, you know, kind of gypsy breweries and that. So there's brands, but on average, I would say there's something like 80 breweries in total in Ireland. But really, I think it's a smaller number who actually, you know, brew themselves full time. So it's around a 20-year mark as well.
Okay.
Like it took a long time to take off because tax reasons, that the government was very difficult on tax, and then they kind of made it easier for small breweries, and then it started to take off. But that's about 20 years ago. So
okay.
But and again, over here, like in Ireland, Guinness obviously is so big that it dominates, and it used to take an awful lot of the taps in the pubs and tie them down, you know. So it was...
We drink a lot of Guinness beer here.
Yeah.
But I guess it was my when I start drinking beer. So Guinness, it was my favorite beer, okay. And I start drinking that beer a lot, like drinking, and then I start with IPAs. But little by little, my first one, it was Guinness. I really like that beer, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a huge company, but I think it is actually a good beer, you know.
Yeah, they produce a beautiful beer, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I like it, anyway,
Easy to drink.
Yeah. Yeah, and people used to think it was very heavy, and then they discovered Imperial Stouts, and that was altogether. But yeah.
Hey, when you drink an Imperial Stout, then you say, Guinness, it is not that strong.
Yeah, exactly.
That heavy, yeah.
But I think between the tax and between... them owning such a big market in Ireland, that it was very hard for craft brewers to break in for a long time, when it's only in the last 20 years that it's really started to kind of grow.
And do you sell outside a lot? Thinking of Guinness.
Yeah, a lot of them do. A lot of them are now exporting quite widely.
To where?
Let me see. Mainly across Europe, I think. I mean, it differs from brewery to brewery, but mainly across Europe. And I think my own feeling from what I've just seen, without having really hard figures to back it up, is that a lot of it goes in through kind of Irish pubs around the world. You know, so an Irish pub.
There are a lot. Yeah. In Argentina, in Mendoza, we got two.
Okay.
Just in Mendoza City, we got two Irish pubs.
Yeah. They're a huge kind of resource for Irish people, really, you know. And I think, but yeah, I'm very hard to think of an Irish craft brewery that exports a lot to, say, America, either north or south. I can't think of any that really do a lot. So mainly it would be within Europe.
Cool.
But they're growing, and again, it's, you know, it's followed the same path as yourself. A lot of IPAs move to kind of imperial and barrel-aged stouts, sours now, wild sours, and things like saisons and, you know, kind of lighter, more traditional beers, farmhouse.
And do you guys drink sour beers the whole year or just in summertime, or
They're not a huge market. They're not a but they are a growing market, and I think it's all year round. Most of them are. There are some very good sour producers, some very good people kind of doing, you know, spontaneous beers.
Cool.
It's quite interesting, and that's the side that I think, like yourself, like people like to experiment. So they start with an IPA and then they experiment and end up making spontaneous beers.
What about cider?
Cider is popular, but not. I think.
Do you produce apples over there? Yeah.
Yeah, we do. But I think that is still. There's one here called Bulmers that I think has about 80 to 90% of the market. So craft cider is still kind of new. But it's growing. Okay. It's growing. But cider is popular here. It just needs the craft brewers or the craft cider makers to kind of give them a bit more time.
Cool.
So it's interesting. Like, where do you think you're going? So with Zandoval, where are you going to keep with your core beers and your one special month? Are you going to try and go into a different style of beer that you haven't brewed? Or
so our. We want to still do it that way, like selling mostly beer in our region. But little by little, we are start to producing more bottling.
Okay.
More bottles. And see how it works to, sell in the whole Argentina and then start to sell it outside. That our...
You're talking about bottling. Is that you're not doing canning?
We are doing bottles. Hope one day we make can. Because I know in the world people are drinking more cans than bottles.
Yeah, they've become, just taking Ireland again, I'd say it's only about 2 to 3 years cans came from very small, very, you know, and now they're it's all cans. It's very hard to get bottles.
So the bottle we sell normally, we got small bottles, you know, like 30 that one and champagne bottle, like in the champagne bottle we put their imperial stout or maybe the maracuja sour and ghost beer. And we sell that beer with a good packaging. So, that one is the bottle I want to sell outside, you know, like make a big, heavy imperial stout, imperial coffee stout, or maybe a sour, and sell it in a good packaging, in the good bottle. We got really beautiful water here coming from the Andes mountains, and to make a imperial stout. So I guess Mendoza can work on the water and say in the marketing of the water and say our imperial stout coming from the water, coming from the Andes, it is really
okay.
Good water to make Imperial Stout. So I think Mendoza can sell Imperial Stout outside the country with that marketing, you know,
yeah.
Selling that marketing. Yeah.
So you basically want Mendoza to be known for wine and Imperial Stout, the two things
together. I guess so. Yeah, I think we can make a lot of different beer, but Imperial Stout, we got the water to make the best Imperial Stout in Argentina, at least. So I think we have to use that marketing, you know?
Yeah, and sounds like a plan. It sounds like you've kind of made me thirsty now. I want one of your Imperial Stout. So you're doing a good job with me anyway. So Sebastian, I won't hold you because I know you have a meeting to go to in a while and that. So yeah, is there anything that I should have asked you there that you think that you'll be sorry you didn't mention?
Follow our brewery in Instagram, sandoval.brewingco, and wherever you want to come to Argentina, please come to Mendoza, drink wine, drink beer, good beers, visit different pubs. You're going to spend really good time, and please contact us, and you can visit the brewery, and we always are really friendly with people from outside. We travel a lot. I travel a lot in a lot of different countries, and always found good people who teach me or show me the area, the place. So wherever you guys come to Argentina, please call us, and we're going to say where you have to go. We're going to do a barbecue, Argentina barbecue, and drink a good beer and good wine.
Well, if people don't come to see you after that sales pitch, they're mad. That's really good. All right, Sebastian, thanks a million for your time. Really enjoyed it. I had no clue of what beer was like in Argentina, and especially in Mendoza. So it's been really interesting, and hopefully everyone else was found it that way as well. So maybe we'll stay in touch, and we can check back at some stage and see if you've
for sure.
Yeah, see if that Imperial has appeared anywhere else outside Mendoza yet.
Thank you very much, Brian. Thank you very much, and I spent good time here. So
excellent.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you. I'll just finish here and we'll go.
Have a good one.